Or let's open our Bibles, if you would, please. To the book of Luke. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter number 8 this morning, and also Mark chapter 5. These are just the two passages that deals with the demoniac of Gadara. Appreciate all of our visitors being in the service with us today, as well as the members. And most of all, we're thankful that Jesus has showed up today in his presence, and we are honored in that regard, because it doesn't matter if I'm here or if you're here if he's not here. Amen. It won't be no different. It won't be a bit of difference if it's at Walmart or anywhere else, for that matter, without him. But aren't you glad this morning that he showed up? And he always shows up on purpose. And he always shows up with a person or with people in mind. Amen. If you've got a need, the need meter has visited us and is among us even now to meet your need tonight or this morning. Amen. All right, let's look at Luke chapter number 8. We'll begin reading in verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, I'm glad business picks up when Jesus gets on board, on your shore, and gets where you are. Business picks up, amen. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil. Note that term, not for the message, just for emphasis' sake, driven of the devil. When the devil is at work in your life, he is in the driver's seat. Everybody needs to see that. That don't have a thing much to do with the message, but I saw that as I read it just now, and that thing jumped off at the page at me for emphasis, that he was driven of the devil. Where? That's exactly where he's taking you. You're listening to him. You're letting him make the turns in your life. You're letting him have his foot on the gas. You're letting him make the choices and decisions. Guess where his destiny is to take you? He's to drive you into the wilderness. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's good right there. That's a message right there for somebody already. Verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Can I want to stop right there? Something else. If this keeps on, I'll just have you be seated. Listen, the first thing God dealt with was his honesty. What's your name? Remember when God dealt with Jacob? What is thy name? He wanted to know. He said, "I'm Jacob." Meaning, I'm a trickster, I'm a supplanter, I'm a conniver. He wanted him to be honest. Listen, God wants me to tell somebody here, listen, your first step to getting help from God is to get honest. It's to get honest. What is your name? Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently. What about that? Mercy, there's some more preaching. I'll not preach on it though, but the herd ran violently down Can we stop there? Do you get it? When the devil drives you, amen, and the devil's no respecter of person. He'd soon ruin your life as he had a pig, amen. I mean, you're nothing to him. Oh, come on, Preacher Rackley. I mean, you're nothing to him. He don't care if you're a pig or a person. There you are. He don't care. He's got destruction in mind for you. And he got in them and they ran violently in what direction? Down. Help me, Jesus. This thing's getting big. He ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. My, what a destiny. What a desired end he has for you. Verse 34, when they that fed them, talking about the swine, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him, Christ that is, to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, amen. Glory. Let's pray. I'll read a verse in Mark after you be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name today. I want to thank you, dear Lord, for how you've helped me already, how you've spoke to me, how you've ministered to my heart. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the song service. Thank you, dear God, for just being God, being gracious and loving and kind and compassionate. And thank you, Lord, for moving in our direction. Lord, regardless, Father, thank you for that. Lord, we none of us deserve it this morning. Dear Lord, but we sure need your help. We sure need your touch this morning. Father, please help me to preach that you've laid upon our heart. Direct my thoughts. Help me, Lord, not to say anything, God, unnecessary. Help us to not say anything out of the way. Help us to not say anything that would be flesh-oriented. Help us, dear Lord, to be spirit-controlled, spirit-filled. Help me, dear Father, I pray, to be a man of keen discernment. This morning to discern, dear God, the very things the Spirit of God would impress our heart and mind to say. Put a guard about our lips that we'd not say anything except what you desire and that you've designed. Lord, I pray, have your will and way. Drive back every hindrance. Drive back, dear God, this morning every opposing spirit that would try to distract people's minds and Lord, get them thinking about after service activities instead of the fact that the Word of God is being preached at this moment. Help me, I pray, take us beyond ourselves, hide us in our calling, get maximum glory today, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to read a verse in Mark's Gospel, same passage, and I would encourage you to read it when you get home because of just the little different details that Mark adds that Luke does not add. But I want to read one verse, if I may, or two verses, verse 19 and 20. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. That is, when the man wanted to go with him. He said, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Isn't that a blessing? Well, I noticed, the Lord helped me to notice and put in my heart, Mark's account says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things God hath done for thee. Well, Luke says a different statement. Not a contrasting statement, but a complimenting statement. Return to thine own house and show great things, how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So Mark says, go tell it. Luke says, go show it. I want to preach today on show and tell. Show and tell. Can I just give you this morning? Boy, it's blessed my heart. I'm telling you, it blessed me all over. To look at this passage of Scripture, and you know we didn't read the whole thing, but we just kind of jumped in the middle of an ongoing happening. Before Jesus and the disciples got to the shore of the Gadarenes, where the demoniac of Gadara was, they encountered a massive, terrible storm. And I tell you, the Lord spoke to my heart here about the storm that raged without against the saints and Savior trying to prevent them from getting to the center. I mean, look what the Savior and the saints went through. You say, was the saints have part? Well, the Bible said that they were rowing. Jesus was on board, but he wasn't rowing. Jesus has always, in this New Testament economy, depended on the saints to take him to sinners. Oh, mercy. How many got a hold of that? Or how many don't want to get a hold of that? But I looked at that, oh, the storm that raged against that ship trying to prevent them from getting over there where one of the devil's trophies were. But I'm glad that the storm from without never stopped the Savior from getting to the center. But then when I follow on into where we read, I noticed something else. Not only was there a major storm raging without that was trying to keep the Savior from the center, but I look on the shore and I find there's a storm raging within that is trying to keep the sinner away from the Savior. Amen. You remember when Jesus showed up on the shore? Do you remember Silas, he walked on the shore? What was those demons saying? What have we to do with thee? What have we to do with thee? What does that mean? Don't come over here. We don't want nothing to do with you. That is the attitude of a sinner right there. If you don't want nothing to do with God and the things of God and the holy things, mark her down, friend. That's coming from an influence in your life. Amen. The influence of that controlling spirits inside this man was preventing him from getting to the Savior. You say, preacher, what is salvation? When the Savior gets to the sinner and the sinner gets to the Savior. But of course, it's worth repeating. It's worth showing that, my friend, the sinner did not get to the Savior by swimming the sea. It wasn't the sinner, my friend, rowing a ship. No. And God is showing us here that if a man's going to get saved, God is going to have to take the initiative. God is going to have to come to where he is. Oh, yeah. In the book of Genesis, we find the first happening of that. When Adam had sinned in the garden, oh, what did God do? God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? Whoa, amen. Amen. Oh, my soul. Look at all that Jesus has done, went through to get where you are. And know this morning that all rejection, all restriction, all hindrances that is trying to keep you from getting saved is 100% of the devil. Amen. You want to know where the devil's at? Just show me a sinner that's telling God no. I'll show you where the devil's at. Hey, that's right. Amen. Oh, but I'm glad that Jesus is greater than the storm that raged without, about that was trying to prevent him, that was trying to stop him. But I'm also glad this morning, glory, that God is greater than the storm that was raging on the inside of that demoniac of Gadara. Amen. Woo, I'm glad he's able this morning. I'm glad Jesus is able to calm the storm. Amen. I don't have scripture to prove this, but I kind of believe this is so. Because of that storm that was raging inside that man, that he could not calm. Other people could not calm him. They tried. They tried to bind him. They tried all kinds of things, but it just was of no avail. Amen. And I don't know this to be factual, but I believe it. I believe it. Amen. I believe that God had calmed that storm on the sea to show him that was probably on the bank up there watching, hey, I can calm your storm also. Amen. Amen. I no doubt that demoniac, I mean, he might have looked across that sea and said, man, I've been living up here in this graveyard a long time, and I've seen some mighty terrible storms out there. But I hadn't hardly ever seen one like that. And oh, I feel sorry. You don't know that's what's happening, but it could have been. I feel sorry for that little old ship down there. It's being tossed to and fro. Hey, amen. The waves have overwhelmed it. No doubt expecting it to go down at any time. The demoniac could have probably been watching that thinking, well, it's about to go under. Hey, this storm, buddy's fixing to take that ship down. Of course, he didn't know who was on board. He didn't know who was on board. But I want to tell you what, all of a sudden, it went from a gigantic storm that no ship could ever make it through till all of a sudden it laid down like a little puppy dog at the master's feet. Hey, man, and he probably wondered, what in the world happened? That storm went from a rage to smooth sailing all of a sudden. I wonder what power did that. Hey, I wonder who can do such a thing. Hey, man, I need that done in my life. I need that peace in my life. Of course, he got on the shore and that's exactly what happened. Amen. You know the story. He got saved. By the grace of God, his life was forever changed, and yours will be. Amen. Yours will be. Anywhere, anytime, yours will be changed as well. But as I said, Mark shows the word tell. Go and tell after you get saved. You don't just get saved and plop down. No, God is interested in changing your life, taking you from where you were, taking you from what you were, and putting you where he can use you for his glory. I mean, after he got saved, the Lord told him, said, return to thine own house. In Luke's account, Mark's account, the Lord said, go home to thy friends. Amen. Salvation is definitely a show and tell subject. Amen. There's no doubt about that. Now, sin is too. Sin don't start out a show and tell, but it'll end up a show and tell. Sin starts out secret and nobody knows. But I want to tell you what, it won't stay that way. Before I ever got up this morning, about 6 o'clock, the Lord was speaking to my heart, just laying there in the bed, meditating on the service and on the preaching this morning. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said that sin that is harbored in your heart will one day hatch out. You may be sitting on that nest and you think nobody knows. I'm going to tell you, it won't be long till that sin will go from private to public. Amen. Yes, sir. No doubt about that. Private sin will not remain private. Sin doesn't just suddenly surface. Did everybody get that? Sin doesn't just suddenly surface. The underground root precedes the above ground fruit. Amen. Listen to this. Lord, give this to me. All this letter. Sin that is not dealt with personally and privately will force others to have to deal with it. How many children are having to deal with the sin of their parents? How many parents are having to deal with the sin of their children? Sin that they wouldn't deal with. Sin that they let and allowed in their life to grow. And know this, sin won't stay small. Sin always starts small, but sin never stays small. And it will grow and just like leaven. Little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Isn't that right? And so sin that is not dealt with personally and privately will force others to have to deal with it publicly. Amen. Sin loves company. You know that? But show and tell. Salvation is definitely a show and tell subject this morning. The word show speaks of life. Tell speaks of your lips. God wants your salvation to be visible and vocal. Amen. Listen to this right here now. Write it down in your heart. The devil is behind secret and silent salvation. Amen. The devil's behind that. He don't want it seen. That is, he don't want you to show it. And he wants it to be silent. That is, he don't want you to tell it. So there's the devil is behind, no doubt, that right there. Show deals with the exhibit of this salvation. It'll be exhibited. It'll be outward. It'll be displayed. But telling deals with the expression of that salvation. Now write these down. I'm just going to give them to you quickly. Number one, I want to talk about the must of this show and tell. That don't just happen. Something's got to happen, and it's very simple. If you listen, what is it? You got to have something to show, and you got to have something to tell. You can't show and tell what is not there to be seen or what is not there to tell. Amen. So that is where I get the word must at. The must of this show and tell. Psalms 107 in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now the say-so comes after being redeemed. You're redeemed, then it's expressed through a say-so. Now you remember me preaching on that, I'm sure, on the say-so salvation. Amen. If the expression is missing, it was probably because the event is missing. If you're not telling it, it's because probably you're not showing it. Amen. There's dangers involved. Listen to this. There's dangers involved. Some have the show, but they don't have the tell. Another danger is some have the tell, T-E-L-L, the tell, but they don't have the show. Amen. But did you know if you're showing it, showing that life, showing that, but you don't tell it, you're still wrong. Or on the other hand, if you're telling it, but there's nothing there to see, or to be seen, you're still wrong. Amen. So there is definitely a danger of having the show but not the tell, or having the tell but not the show. Amen. And of course, there's some that claim to be saved and they don't have neither one. They don't have the show or the tell. They don't show nothing and they don't tell nothing, but yet they'll say, I'm saved. Are you willing to trust that? Right, listen, it's a long ways from here to heaven now. It's 93 million miles from here to the S-U-N. If you left right now, you would never live enough lives to get to the S-U-N, much less the S-O-N. So if you're going to get to heaven, you better find out how to get there. Amen. And you can't get there, amen, by being an astronaut. Right. Amen. America's got the astronauts. Russia's got the cosmonauts. But God has the was nots. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that Enoch was not. Amen. For God took him. If you're going to get to heaven, friend, it won't be because you're on a ship or a plane. Hey, amen. That's right. Or jump right on a satellite. If you're going to make it to the third heaven, friend, God is going to have to take you there. You got to get saved. Some have the show and not the tail. Some have the tail and not the show. And then there's some, and our churches are full of them, that claim to be saved, and they don't have nothing to show nor anything to tell. I want to tell you, I wouldn't trust that 5 seconds. Amen. When you get saved, hallelujah, God will give you something to show, not show off, but to show. And God will give you something to tell. Amen. Well, I like that myself, amen. Amen. In fact, the truth is, if you don't have nothing to show, it'd be good to just keep your mouth shut. Now, I know that sounds mean, but it's not. That's the truth. You do a lot of damage when you tell people you're saved, but yet they're seeing you live a lost life. When you're living a carnal, worldly, sinful life, and you tell people you're saved, you're not helping the cause of Christ. Amen. You're hurting the cause of Christ. In fact, what you're doing is you're leading people to believe that they can live that way and go to heaven too. Amen. If you don't have nothing to show, then please don't tell nothing. Amen. Well, the other side of that's true too. If you don't have nothing to tell, then don't show too much. Lord help us. It takes both sides to be important. That's the must. Number two, quickly, the manifestation of show and tell. Amen. The manifestation behind show and tell. Jesus shows us that these two points are the ways that He wants your salvation, or which is really His salvation, to be manifest. Show and tell. Why would you want to be secret and silent about such a great happening, a great event? If I were to give you $1 million, don't expect it because I don't have it. Are you listening? I guess I'm probably worth more to my wife dead than I am alive. That's the danger of having life insurance. Because you might check out one day. So if I leave out here today, y'all check up on me, would you? Amen. Some of you probably think, well, preacher, we probably need to check up on you because she's not here today. Well, she's sick. She's not dead. She's sick. Amen. Are you listening? But I want to tell you, friend, listen. There's the manifestation of it. God wants what He's given you manifest. If I were to give you $1 million, I wonder how long it would take for the evidence of it to start showing up in your life. But Silas, how long would it take you? Probably within the next couple of hours. I mean, I know your wife. It would definitely, half of it would be gone and before dark. That's right. And I know your boy and your daughter, so I know that most of it would be gone. You'll be still working at Clayton Homes this evening. Ain't that right? Amen. We're having revival, Brother Silas, on the front row. Amen. Amen. We got 3 boys up here. We're working on this side. We're trying to balance it out over here. Amen. That's right. But how long? It wouldn't take long. If I gave you just $1 million, it wouldn't take long for the evidence of it to start showing up in 2 ways. Vocally and visibly. You'd tell everybody you've seen, and then everybody that saw you would see all of the evidence that you had got that money. Nod your head like this right here. And Jesus Christ has given us His life. He's given us His spirit. He's given us His nature. And I want to tell you, some people are professionals at keeping it hid. How do you do that? Brother Silas, you're in this creation stuff. Let me ask you something. How is it that God, being so big, the Bible said the heaven's His throne, earth's His footstool? I mean, He uses this little dirt ball we call earth, my friend, just something to prop His feet on, just a footstool. He measures the Milky Way in a span of His hand. Just from tip to tip of His hand. The Milky Way that would take us hundreds of thousands of light years to fly across at 185,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. But when you get saved, that God moves inside you. Now I want to tell you, how can a God that big get inside you as small as you are and He not push out the cracks? Amen. Well, I'm saved, preacher, but I don't know it. I don't see it. I'm saved, preacher, but I don't hear it. How can you do that? Salvation is a show and tell, a subject this morning. Amen. So we talked about the must and the manifestation of it. Listen, Jesus never does any work that draws attention to the person. Go and show and tell what great things or how great things that God has done for you. Jesus, listen, the world wants you to show off, which draws attention to you and what you look like and your body and your money and your whatever else. Amen. But I want to tell you, when Jesus does a work in your life, He does not do a work in your life to draw attention to you. But when you show and tell what He's done, it draws attention to Him. It draws attention to Him, amen? Now, the world's right the opposite of that. Now, listen to me. The world is right the opposite of that. Everything this world does is geared for you to get the attention. Amen. That's how it's easy to know when people starting to get carnal and they're starting to get fleshly and worldly, is that they're starting to, it's all about me now. Amen. It's not all about Him. It's all about me. It's all about self. Amen. That's what the world's geared to do. When the world starts putting its fingerprints on your life, selfishness will surface. It's all about what I look like. It's all about that. Amen. It's not what about He's done. Amen? I mean, you think about this subject. This is just an illustration of that. Immodesty. Preach, surely you're not going to get on that. Surely I am. Immodesty. Let's just talk about immodesty. Being immodest. Okay? I mean, that's in the Bible. Being modest. Women adorning themselves in modest apparel. That's in the Bible. Why not preach it? Amen. Hello? I mean, that's not all that's in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. Amen? And it needs to be preached. I mean, we've got more adultery than we've ever had. We've got more fornication than we've ever had. We've got more illegitimate children than we've ever had. Are you listening? We've got more rapes than we ever had. We've got more molestation than we've ever had on planet Earth. Why? Because everything geared in the media coverage pushes and promotes sensual lifestyle. Hollywood movie stars, they exploit and exhibit the loose life of having all kinds of mates and partners, and it don't matter about marriage. Marriage is no more than putting on a pair of socks. If you don't like the fit or the color, get you another pair. And I want to tell you, friend, the pulpits of our churches have been silent about that subject too long. And because of it, y'all might as well say amen. And because of it, we've got as much sin in the church as outside the church. And I believe this, and I don't want to get on this. I don't want this to be the main message. But I believe if you read the 2 Timothy, this know also then last days perilous times shall come. Read that list and see how many of them are sexual. Go over to the book of Galatians 5 and look at the works of the flesh. Look at how many of them are sexual. I believe this, friend. And how many, listen, come on, nod your head like this right here. We'll be out by dinner, amen. Or supper, whatever you call the evening meal. We got more homes blowing apart inside the church. God's men don't preach on it no more. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's not popular. And I'll tell you why. It don't feel good. The other morning when I had to plow just a little bit here on sanctification and stuff, I'm going to tell you, I went home. I'm telling you, I was just plumb sick on the inside. Because I don't take joy in that. I'd rather not deal with it. But I want to tell you what, I don't want you to ruin your life. I don't want your home blown apart. I don't want these young girls and their lives destroyed. Brother Samuel, I don't want your life destroyed. Hey, amen. I'm going to preach on sin. Hey, I'm going to make the fire hot so you won't touch the stove. Amen. Amen. The manifestation, buddy. Listen, the world wants to manifest itself in your life. Amen. And it does that. Just for that, I got on that, spent too much time there, but just on that immodesty issue. Why is it that God never deals with a lot of saved, professing saved people about that subject? Some of the churches I go preach in, Brother Carroll, I honestly have to look at the ceiling about 90% of the time because there's so much flesh and skin and nakedness and that bunch of rot showed in the house of God. Amen. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. And I believe this. Listen, say what you will about me. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. But I don't believe we'll ever get back to God till we're preaching the holiness of God. Amen. And the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Amen. But listen to this verse of Scripture. I'm talking about manifesting. God said, here's how I want you to manifest what I've done for you. I want you to show it, and I want you to tell it. Well, the world wants to keep that all disclosed and hid. How? By covering you up with carnality and flesh and worldliness. That's why I'm so against it. That's why I preach against it. Why? Because it's hiding Christ. It's taking glory away from the Son of God. And are you jealous? God is jealous over you if you're saved. Did you know God is jealous over you? It bothers Him. Read James 4. Read 1 John 2. It bothers Him when you are flirting around with the world when you belong to Him. In fact, the book of James calls you an adulterer and adulteresses. In the same verse that it said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. How many of you men? Come on, men. I am one. Let me ask you something. Would it bother you if you saw your wife hugging around and flirting around with somebody else? Brother McCarrick, I don't even have to ask you, but I'm going to. Would that bother you? You would probably get in the flesh, wouldn't you? And take care of business. Somebody would get hurt. You'd probably be up on the hill instead of over here at the church. That's right. Or at the something would give. Amen. You mean, hey, you know what that means? Brother Webb, you know what that means? That you love your wife. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I don't be hugging around on my wife, Brother Tim. Amen. That's right. He don't, but I mean, listen, I'm just talking about, listen, we're going to get with it. Amen. He'll have something besides a motorcycle wreck. And I mean, I'm just picking on Brother Tim, but we could say that about anybody. Amen. Brother Fultz, would you get busy with somebody if they messing with your wife? I guarantee, ain't no problem to it, brother. I guarantee he'd open up a big can of whoop pudding sudden. I guarantee it. Amen. Why? Why, Brother Fultz? Because you love her. Amen. You've got a lot invested in that woman right there. Say amen right there, buddy. And you, as a church, we, the saints of God, what are we called in the Bible? We're called the bride of Christ. And oh, what a cost. Oh, what a price that He paid for our soul. Oh, yes, He's jealous over us when He sees us having extra affairs and flirting around with the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of movies and the wrong kind of media. It bothers Him when we try to hide and disguise our spiritual life by being worldly. That's good preaching now. Yeah, I'm doing it. You know that's right. You know that's a truth, and too many preachers going to preach that. And the only reason I am is because God told me to. But let's read this. Look at it. In like manner also, just got through dealing with the men. Come on, men. It ain't just the women issue. It's the men, too. He just got through dealing with the men in the previous verse. In verse 9, he said, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Adorn themselves. That is, you do it. You're to do it. You are to take responsibility to do that and dress modest. And I don't have time to deal with that. I don't have time to deal with it, what all that means. But I can tell you this right here real quickly, that modest apparel knocks in the head everything that's tight, everything that's clingy, everything that's revealing, everything that's short. on the bottom and low on the top. Amen. Come on, ladies. That is immodest. Now, listen now. I'm not trying to build no points for me. I'm not trying to get no trophies today. I'm preaching the Word. Is that, come on now. Is that not in the Bible? Did I not just read that? I do have a King James Bible. Did I not just read that? That women adorn themselves in modest apparel. The definition means long, loose, and flowing. What's the world's dress code now? Short, tight, and revealing. Say amen right there. Amen. Whoop. Hello, we're having a good time. Amen. I just had a mental flashback. A few years back, y'all gave me a pastor appreciation service. Don't y'all remember that? And y'all sang in the choir, "Not for sale. Our preacher is not for sale." And I looked around and everybody in our church had a "not for sale" sign. And guess what, Brother Rob? This preacher still does not have a price tag on him. Amen. I may have a target on me, but I don't have a price tag. A lot of my preaching brethren, listen, and I love them, but they're compromising and they're cooling it off and they're changing. Oh, God, help Preacher Rackley not to do that. Please pray that God will help Preacher Rackley to stay the course and to stay right. I want to finish right. I want to finish right. Oh, when I draw my last breath, I want to be able to preach and finish my course with joy. Amen. Whew, son, I feel something on that. Amen. Boy, it's coming from my heart this morning. Boy, we need a revival of holiness and purity and godliness. Amen. Oh, Lord. That women ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. And sobriety. Not with embroidered hair and gold and pearls and costly array. You know what he's dealing with there? Flashy. You write it down. Preacher Ackley said it because I've seen it and I've learned it from experience over the years of dealing with so many people. If a person, whether it be a boy or a girl, or a man or a woman, if they dress flashy, they are fleshly. And I want to tell you this, and you can write it down. You can write it down. Preacher Ackley said it. This is being taped if it don't burn the tape player up. There is a connection in the Scripture, and I could prove it to you. Scripture after Scripture, there is a connection between sin and skin. When sin gets in the picture, skin starts to be revealed. Mark it down. Listen, I'm preaching on show and tell. If you've got it, show it. If you got salvation, why are you not showing it? Why do you fight against holiness? Why do you fight the Spirit of God trying to work purity and Christ-likeness in you? Why is there such a warfare there? Why don't you say, "Yes, Lord, you saved me from hell. You forgave me of all my condemning sin. And Lord, if you want me to live holy, godly, and pure, here I am." Is there anything in your life that God deal with that you'd buck up on? Is there anything in your life, if he put his finger on it and said, "I want this to go, this is hindering your life spiritually," that you'd pitch a fit and buck up against God and get all bent out of shape and stiff-necked and stubborn against God? Does anybody notice how quiet it is besides me? I've got good liberty to preach this morning. Are you listening? Listen. Let the woman endure themselves in modest apparel. Don't be flashy. Amen. Don't dress to attract your... Listen, I'm going to have to get off that or I'm going to preach a whole message on that. And it needs it. But I want to tell you this. I know this. I know this for a fact. That if people notices your flesh, they will not notice your spirit. And I'm going to say this straight blunt. I don't know how to say it. But every person, man or woman, that dresses immodest, If you'd be honest in your heart, and listen, come on now, because modesty is a heart issue. Amen. It's not just an outward thing. It's a heart issue. But listen, if you'll be honest today, if you'll get in front of that mirror and be honest before you go out in public, you know that the way you're dressing, if you're dressing that way, you're doing it to be seen. If you'd be honest, you're wanting to attract the eye of a person. If you'd be honest. If you'll be honest about it. And that right there, that honesty, ought to deal with you. Did you know, and I don't have time to deal with this, Lord help me. I can't hardly get on this without digging a deep hole. But did you know the book of Isaiah identifies what nakedness is? You know what it is? It's your thigh. Where's your thigh start at? Anything above the knee, God says, is nakedness. Now, I know you probably will never hear that again. That's right. You don't have no business. As a safe part. Now, listen, if you're lost, listen, I don't care what you got on. Come to church. We're going to preach to you, love you. Amen. Try to get you to God. But now after you get saved, this Bible, we got a Bible of instruction tells you how to live as a believer. And it's my calling to preach that. Well, I better get off that. The rest of you dies out on me. But listen, write this down. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to write this down. 1 Peter, read 1 Peter chapter 2. Dealing with wives that's got lost husbands. Saved wives that's got lost husbands. You know that God deals with that woman, how she's supposed to dress in front of her husband? Now, you tell me that that's not tight? I've never preached it tight as God writes it. That's tight. But now look at it now. Look at 1 Peter 2 when you get home. What God's not saying now. Come on, ladies. I'm going to help you right here. Some of you men will say amen if you're not afraid. Now that verse, Brother Rob, down through that verse there, it's not talking about that wife not supposed to dress up like some old hag. Because it deals with the apparel and gold and all that. It said, but the hidden man of the heart. In other words, he's telling that woman, if you want to win your husband, you can do so with your conversation. Which is your behavior, your conduct, how you act around him. How you act around him. And said, don't dress so as to draw attention to the flesh. Listen, I'm talking about this. Keep it in context now as a lost man. So that the hidden man of the heart can be seen. Make sure your lost husband can see the spirit in you instead of the flesh on you. Amen. Now keep it in context. Amen. Don't put nothing there that's not there. And don't take nothing out that's not there. Amen. Don't go home and tell your husband, I ain't wearing no more makeup. I'm going to look like a barn door. Because I want you to see Jesus in me. Well, amen. God help us. Yeah, I'm losing it fast. The manifestation. God wants your salvation. Can we get back on the subject? Your salvation, God wants manifested. How? Show and tell. Let me move on. I got more to help. I got a bunch more to preach. Thirdly, let me skip down and get this. Thirdly, the magnificence of this show and tell. What is it that we're supposed to show and tell? In light of our text that we read, what is it? What great things, not just what things, but what great things that God has done. Boy, I'm glad Brother Craddock sung in the choir the great thing. It is a great thing. It was a great thing. It still is a great thing that the Lord has done. Have you got over that? Have you got over that? Have you got used to that? Is it still big to you? If not, you're the one moving. You remember that illustration I gave you a long time ago? I don't even remember how long ago it's been. This man and woman was riding down the road in a truck. And, you know, and he was sitting there driving, you know. And she was over on the other side, you know, and she looked at the space between them and she said, honey, we're not as close as we used to be. He looked down, he said, well, honey, I ain't moved. So if you look at your relationship to God and you say, Lord, we're not as close as we used to be. Mark it down. He hasn't moved. You're the one that has moved. Amen. All right. Listen, the magnificence of it. Oh, it's so big. How could we not want to show it and not want to tell it? Amen. That's right. Mercy, Lord. Amen. I ought to be able to tell by looking at you and listening to you what you got. Oh, mercy. Show and tell. Amen. What great things. What makes it great? Write it down. Write it down. I don't have time to deal with all this. Write it down. The first thing that makes it great is the human impossibility behind the need. Do you realize that the need this man had, no man could meet? That's what makes it great. Did you know salvation is completely out of the reach of man? You can't do enough, buy enough, have enough, amen, work enough to get saved by that. You can't. Amen. That's what makes it great. It's not what me and God did. It's what God did. In fact, four times in the book of Luke, he used the word done. They saw what was done, verse 34, verse 35, and they went out to see what was done, verse 35, verse 39, twice, show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published that the whole city, how great things Jesus had done. I'm glad that what we're talking about is a done deal. Listen, human impossibility that's behind it. Secondly, who it was that was required to do the work makes it great. Jesus had to come a long ways, weather the storm, to do the work. Boy, there's a connection between the magnificence of what he's done and the magnifying of who did it. There's a connection to that, amen? Amen. The outcome, number three, the outcome of defeating the devil makes it great. Here's a man whose life was being destroyed, ravaged and ruined by what? The devil. Devils, legion, for we are many. Are you listening? And listen, the outcome made it great. The devils were defeated. Boy, when you get saved, the devil is defeated. Praise God. And number four, what makes it great is the life that was forever changed. Praise his holy, holy name. You remember, kids, I'm talking about the magnificence. You remember having any of the show and tell? Miss Paul, Sue, y'all still have that in classes today? Maybe a special day, a show and tell type thing. A lot of times, maybe it's after Christmas or something. You can bring a favorite toy or something, or whatever, and you bring it in there and you show and tell about it. You show it. Did you know if it's not something special or significant, it won't never make it to the show and tell day? You leave all that mediocre stuff, all of that, that's all right. You leave all that at the house. You know what you take to school on show and tell day? What is significant and what is special to you. Amen. If you're not showing and telling this great salvation, you know what that means? It's not big. It's not significant. It's not special. Number four, write it down quickly. Number four, the ministry of show and tell. Why did God want this man to go show and to go tell? Why? Why? It's revealed right there with that statement. Go home to thy friends and show them. Go home, return to thine house and tell them. Go. Why? Because somebody needs to see and somebody needs to hear. The ministry. God has other people. This is big. I say it here all the time. God has other people in mind when he does a work in you. He saved that demoniac of Gadara. What did he do? Go. Go to your friends. Go to your home. Go home. Go to your friends. You know why, Brother Chuck? Go home to those that know you. Go to your friends that know what you used to be and show them and tell them, I'm not the man I used to be, that I've been saved and changed by the grace of God. Lord, give me this little statement this morning or last night, whenever it was. If you are not influencing people that know you, you will never influence people that don't know you. Go home. Go home to your friends. Does your family know? Do they know by seeing and by hearing what God has done in you? Do you realize, listen, can I get personal? I do that a lot anyway. I preach around a lot, and you know that. But I'd rather wire myself out as to rust out. Amen. That's right. But listen to this. I can't tell you across the miles at the wives and husbands that have confided in me that they have zero confidence in their mate concerning their salvation. Why? They live with them. I can't tell you. Listen, I'm not going to get real specific, but I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many kids have told me, I mean, quote, I don't want what my parents have. Talking about, listen, if mama's saved, if daddy is saved, I don't want no part of it. God have mercy. Do you realize that in this passage right here, it is illustrated that the greatest hindrance to people getting saved is people that know you or that you know? We had a boy come a long time. I'm not going to go give names because I'm not going to talk about him. He died. He died under the judgment of God. Sat right here in these pews, testified, sung in the choir, went with me on visitation, traveled with me a lot of times to go preach. Got out of the will of God. God put him in the ground. But I want to tell you what I told him. He was going to leave. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to have to go somewhere else to church." When he was trying to get right with God or thinking or trying, whatever, trying to get right with God, he said, "I'm going to have to go somewhere else." "Oh, well, wait just a minute." I said, "No, sir." I said, "You muddied the water here. You need to be here and clear it up." That's good preaching right there. Amen. What was I telling him? I was saying, look, these people know you. They know you got out of the will of God. They know the choices you made. Leaving anybody can run. Any coward can run. That's a part of the shame and the reproach that comes with sin. It's having to face people. Having to deal with it. And he did that. He tried to establish a testimony. Tried to. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? Go home to your friends. Go home to your friends. Did they ever hear you talk? Come on, I'm going to preach a few minutes. We may shout it out tonight, but I'm going to preach right now. Listen. Does your friends ever hear you talk about Jesus? And do they see in your life something that backs it up? You love your friends? Yeah, preacher, I love my friends. I'd stand with them through the thick and the thin. But you're going to be a secret Christian, a silent Christian, and let them go to hell. Do you really love them? Right. No. What good would it have been, Brother Silas, if Jesus would have been a secret and a silent Savior? Hey, man, come on now. Did you know Jesus didn't die in a corner? Jesus died on a cross. Jesus didn't die in exclusion. He was hanging there between heaven and earth in the eyes of humanity. Why? God wanted to... Listen, come on now. Boy, this is good. Listen, this is good. If God saw your salvation so important that His Son had to die for you publicly and experience the shame of sin publicly, do you not think He expects you to expose Him publicly? You know what's behind secret and silent Christianity? You know what's behind it? You love yourself. That's what's behind it. You know why Jesus hung on the cross? He didn't love Himself. He loved sinners. Amen. Well, Lord help me, Jesus. The ministry of show and tell. I didn't really get into all that, but that's the meat of it, really. Show, carry out the narration through to the end, recount it, relate it in full, describe it in detail. Tell it. Show it and tell it. The word tell means to announce, declare, rehearse, report, show it. And you know what I found this out? I'm going to just skip down through here. You know what I found out in studying those definitions? I studied the definition of tell, and then I studied the definition of show, and I found out that in the word show, I found the word tell, and I found the definition tell. I found one of the definitions was show. And it kind of throwed me for a second, and then the Lord spoke to him, and he said, they're inseparable. If you're telling it, you're showing it, and if you're showing it, you're telling it, and you can't have one without the other. Amen. Go home. That's a ministry. That's the ministry of show and tell. Go home. Go to your friends. Go to those that know you, that know what how you used to talk, that know your lifestyle that prior to being saved. Go to them and show them and tell them. Why? Because you are a living testimony of what God can do for them. Amen. You'll probably hear this again, but I'm going to ask you this and I'm done. How many has been saved? In fact, I meant to use it tonight, but it's coming out now. How many has been saved by reading a bumper sticker on a car? Raise your hand. I'm not against that. I'm trying to illustrate a point. How many has been saved by reading a Christian logo on a t-shirt? Worn by somebody. That influenced you. God used that for you to get saved. And I'm not against that. I don't want to have to stop every time and say, I'm not against that. Because you have to keep defending yourself or everybody get on topics and crucify you. Well, Preacher Rackley said there. I'm not against the bumper stickers, and I'm not against wearing the Christian logo if you've got a Christian life under the shirt. Hello? I'm not against that. How many has been saved in here by seeing a Christian something on a billboard on the side of the road? Anybody? Duh. I'm not against that either. Might as well file it all the way through. I'm not against that. But the point I'm making is, yes, there may have been some few possibly saved by the influence of a bumper sticker or a shirt logo or a billboard. But I want to ask you my last question. How many in here got saved because of the influence of a Christian showing and telling in your life? Now I want you to just look. Almost every single hand raised in this congregation. Why? That is God's way. Yes, that's God's way. Show and tell. Listen, you know what He wanted? Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm trying to find a cutoff point. He wanted to go with Jesus when he got saved. Boy, that's the way saved people are. Oh, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be around you. I like you. I love you. I love your voice. I love you talking to me. I just love your atmosphere. I just love everything about you. That's a saved person. They love being around. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said to him when he was getting ready to get on the ship to leave, no. And it's not that Jesus don't want him around. Jesus knows that there's a great need. Go home to your friends. Go home to your family. You know, we're going to get to spend eternity together. But right now, you need to go out and talk to your friends and your family and your neighbors and all of that. And is it the book of Mark said he began to publish it in Decapolis. You know Decapolis? According to Ryrie's footnote there, Decapolis wasn't a city. It was a region of 10 cities. There was at least 10 cities that knew all about this man. You think he had a reputation? The word was out on him. Everybody knew about Brother Craddock. Everybody. 10 cities knew about Brother Fultz. I've had them to talk to him. It's a man, he's rough. Are you listening? He went and began to publish it much. He began to tell it and to show it. Just like that woman of that the well there in John 4 did. Went without her water pot, telling about Jesus, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We need a revival of show and tell salvation. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father.